Chapter 22. The Face Behind the Name. Veronica walked through the front yard of the sanctuary, observing the frozen pond and the trail that circled through it. Dressed in a winter jacket that Nathan provided for her, she went exploring, staring at the stars in the sky and the thin clouds hovering in front of the moon. Her thoughts circled around Anastasia's continuing torture of Murphy and what he blurted out to her. She didn't believe a word Murphy said. However, the thought of Kay coming to Blind Bluff Manor to rescue his servant was still a possibility. With Murphy being sent to watch her closely, it only meant that Kay knew she was in Minneapolis. She wasn't afraid. In fact, she wanted Kay to find her. Maybe he'd tell her about her mother or Lucius. Either way, she couldn't just stay in Blind Bluff Manor and do nothing. Her search had to continue, regardless if it put her back on a dangerous path. She prayed in front of the small frozen pond for some kind of resolution. She wasn't overly religious. Her parents never forced it on her. There was always the notion of good and bad. Something that allowed Demon to live in this world, and for her mother to be taken by it. If anyone deserved a life beyond death, it was her mother. Her hair swayed at the cold rush of air and she no longer felt alone. The change of environment didn't startle her. It was either Anastasia or Remy who now stood next to her. "Every demon can smell each other," Anastasia spoke slowly. Above, the clouds began to break and the moon finally showed off its glistening tint, adding dark shadows to the bushes and the trees below. "I smelled them with you outside the door." Anastasia slightly turned to look at her with disturbing eyes. Her dark hair was loose and it fell over her shoulders. She wore a long black dress, which flapped in the wind. "Don't think what I'm doing to Murphy is because of you." Before Veronica replied, she spoke again. "It's not. I don't think you're doing it for me. You're torturing him for your own amusement. That's what demon do, right?" "You know the answer. Why question?" Anastasia took a couple of steps forward. "You were taught that we are evil, and you believe demon killed your mother. You were evil enough to save me from the demon sisters." Veronica saw Anastasia's shoulders jump slightly as she laughed under her breath. "I've been trailing Branda and her sister for years," she said. "I sired them and later betrayed them. It just so happened that they were in the city when I arrived and that they attacked you when they weren't supposed to." Startled at what she just heard, Veronica looked away. It was the opposite of what Demon did, choosing a human over one of their own. A slight breeze blew through the courtyard and she felt the wind underneath her jacket. She noticed Anastasia looking up at the sky with her eyes fixed on the moon.
"Celine is the one who placed the protection on me," Veronica said. "And you don't like her, so why did you follow it?"
"I'm not stupid. I've lived for a long time to realize that sometimes you have to obey the rules to survive." She continued to gaze at the moon. "I've lived long enough to know what happens when our kind becomes uncontrollable and how humans react. I've lived through the rules of the Malleus Maleficarum plagues and humans reacting to the dangers demon have placed upon them. I've witnessed tortures, hangings, murders, and deaths in the name of your god and superstitions, researcher."
"I'm not a researcher."
She watched Anastasia move in closer to her, with her eyes now tearing into her soul. Veronica looked down, but found herself looking back at her. What Remy said about her was right. She fit the type who did what she wanted. She didn't know if she could trust her.
"I've killed plenty of researchers. One more would be nothing to me."
The atmosphere became thick, and she found it extremely difficult to breathe. Anastasia's warning seemed self-explanatory enough. She didn't like her and didn't trust her,
Saving me from Murphy? What was that?
The Ramonga lifted her head to the sky. Suddenly her eyes darted back and forth, and they narrowed. She became completely transfixed on their surroundings. Something wasn't right.
What is it? Veronica whispered.
Quiet. Anastasia stuttered in the continuation of her dark lecture. And remain still.
She stopped again in mid-sentence, but this time she sniffed the air. She took off in Demon's speed back to the manor. Veronica ran after her through the front door and stopped in the den. Pictures on the hallway's walls were crooked. The tablecloths on the small tables were scrunched, and a broken vase lay on the floor. She continued down the hallway, following the clues that Anastasia had come down that way and out the back. When she reached the backyard, she saw Nathan, dressed in a brown robe with his smoking pipe in his hand, standing near the small empty garden, leaning against one of the many beautiful marble statues in the yard. Standing next to him was a woman with red hair braided into a long ponytail, dressed in a fitting red dress, with Jessica standing next to her. Veronica looked to her right, seeing Anastasia with fists clenched and her eyes glaring at them with Remy and Hallie only a few feet away. The red-haired woman slowly turned around, followed by Nathan. Her face was rough, her cheekbones sharp, and her lips thin. Her bright green eyes were bright and penetrated through Veronica. She was Demon.
Yes, I am Demon, the woman answered Veronica's thoughts. You look just like your mother. Fascinated with her appearance, Veronica didn't reply. This woman, she's Celine. Her presence awed her. Celine held out her hand. I'm the one that called for your protection.
A pointless call, Anastasia said.
Celine licked her lips. Anastasia, I see your pessimistic mindset hasn't changed over the centuries. Jessica nodded briefly at Veronica, acknowledging her presence. She looked different for the last time Veronica laid eyes on her. She could clearly see her face, and she stood with her posture erect.
Veronica, I grew concerned that you didn't accompany my minion to my sanctuary, Celine said. I wanted to come to you personally and introduce myself to you.
Concerned?
She didn't believe any demon would be concerned for the safety of a human, not even Anastasia. Do you know what happened to my mother? Veronica didn't waste any time. Celine shook her head.
No, I don't. But I do believe I know what happened to Lucius, who your mother followed.
You've known all this time, and you didn't do anything? Anastasia questioned. He's your sire.
And he is Kai's sire as well.
You're older and stronger than Kai.
Yes, but Kai has thousands of demon who will follow him into death. He has the support that I don't have.
Veronica sighed and looked away. I promised Lucius I would look after you and your mother, Veronica. She continued. I failed once. I won't fail again. Veronica thought little of Celine's excuse. There had to be more. Why would Lucius care enough about a researcher following him?
You can't rush into battle with Kai, Celine continued. Especially when ancient Dima refuses to interfere in the affairs here.
Anastasia rolled her eyes.
Anastasia, why do you seem so repulsed by my visit?
Repulsed? Anastasia stepped out from the shadows.
Angry?
Celine searched for the right word to say.
Maybe I seem repulsed because your excuses are disheveled, Anastasia replied.
Or maybe I seem angry because you decide to do nothing about Kai. I've never trusted you, even in the past, and now. What do you suggest I do against Kai? Celine asked. I've called for Jacretum. Like you, I also want to see him dead. But unlike you, I've done something about it besides calling for a Detritum. Veronica first heard about a Detritum from Sean, who was unsure about its main purpose. It was a calling for Demon to obey a rule or order. You have his meaning? Celine nodded. What do you plan to do with him? Anastasia turned her body slightly away from Celine. Whatever I want. Nathan didn't seem the slightest bit affected by Anastasia's hostility. He remained quiet, choosing to watch and listen instead of speaking. You are the oldest demon in the city for now, Celine. Anastasia raised her voice. Lucius is gone. You are his replacement, regardless of what Kai and his followers believe. Do what ancients are supposed to do. Maintain order. She started to walk back into the house. Or are you scared? She stopped and looked back at her. Their silence and staring competition allowed Nathan and Veronica to glance back at both of them, curious about what they were doing. Unexpectedly, Celine moved in a blur, and in a second she stood face to face with Anastasia. The Ramanga didn't budge, but her sharp teeth dropped quickly from her gums. Her brown eyes gradually changed, as if they were filled with dark liquid, completely engulfing the white of her eyes. Celine's eyes also changed, and while they stared at each other, Remy moved in quickly, and he gently separated them. Ladies, this confrontation will get us nowhere, he said, with his eyes also dark and voided of white. Even though I love seeing a good hair-pulling fight, may I suggest that we get to the bottom of what's happening in the city, find Lucius, and kill Kai. Anastasia's teeth retracted, and her eyes returned back to normal. Celine stepped back, and when her eyes turned back to its normal color of green, she spoke. I want to see this minion that you have. Anastasia turned back and disappeared into the house without responding. Nathan held out his hand as a welcoming gesture for Celine to enter Blind Bluff Manor. Celine motioned for Jessica to follow her, and without a moment of hesitation, she was trailing behind her and into Nathan's home. Celine walked through the back door, and once inside the hallway leading to the basement, she paused at the crooked pictures on the wall. She rubbed the picture frame of one of them, a landscape painting with a scene of a riverbed and rocks. Another picture of a woman wearing a white bodice with an elegant dress with a scoop neckline also caught her eye. They walked down the very same steps Veronica traveled to reach the basement. Celine raised her hand, and Jessica stopped before reaching the top step. She stood to the side and watched Veronica descend down the stairs. Murphy was still chained to the wall, unaware of Celine's grand appearance. His head was drooped forward, and a small pool of blood collected near his feet. His previous wounds had already healed. She approached him, but not once did she concern herself with the various torture devices hanging from the wall. She placed her hand underneath his chin, and she lifted his head. His left eye was swollen, but his right eye fluttered and opened slowly. You sired him? She looked over her shoulder, staring at Anastasia, who stood next to the chains hanging from the basement wall. Celine examined him from head to toe. Wake up, minion, she whispered. We need to talk. She removed her hand from underneath his chin, watching his head go limp and his body lean forward. Centuries passed, and you still choose torture. She referred to the state of his body. The expression on her face turned to concern. but siring him? That is a twist, even for you, Anastasia.
Veronica found herself unable to keep her eyes off her.
This woman, this demon, made a promise to protect me.
She wanted to know why. What was so dangerous? What was so important to her mother that she trusted Lucius to protect her daughter?
The question had to wait. Now wasn't the time. She needed to find out what thoughts were in Murphy's brain.
Kai is having a gathering soon. Celine looked back at Murphy.
It's the perfect time to confront him. She placed both of her hands on the right and left side of his head. He's weak enough to probe.
Veronica wanted to know why this wasn't done in the first place. The older the demon, the more powerful they were.
Celine didn't need to fear Kai.
Her thoughts were loud enough for Celine to answer them.
A dipdim needs willing demon to enforce it. If the younger demon see older demon standing against Kai, they'll choose survival.
Alone, I'm weaker than he is. But with older demon standing at my side, I will be a force to be reckoned with.
She closed her eyes. Murphy's head shot back abruptly. He started to squirm, trying to get away from her.
I tried reading his thoughts, Celine, and it didn't work, Anastasia said.
Of course it wouldn't. Even at your age, you're too young to break through placed barriers.
Celine made contact. The room hushed. Even Anastasia looked interested.
Murphy's body stopped squirming, and he was caught under Celine's spell. Veronica heard soft footsteps coming down the steps. Hallie stood quietly on the bottom step and watched. A small trickle of blood poured out from his left ear, and suddenly his body began to shake violently. Celine released her grip and took a couple of steps back, slowly shaking her head.
Impossible. Her expression changed from astonishment to absolute rage mixed with fear.
I told you, Anastasia confirmed.
No, I was able to get through. It's dark magic. They used dark magic to place Lucius in limbo.
Dark magic?
Veronica had heard about dark magic from her father, but like many other things he said to her, she didn't believe it. It was demonic, evil, and practically unstable magic used for harming, torturing, and killing. It also was used to create demon. Veronica remembered reading about limbo a few times when she was younger. It was a magical state, a place where demon couldn't escape. If Kay did use dark magic and limbo to get rid of Lucius, then the possibility of her mother also being placed in limbo seemed all too real. It was a saddened thought, but she felt relieved to know that her mother could still be alive.
Murphy began to laugh. He told me about you, Celine. Blood dripped from the corners of his mouth.
And what did he say?
The first human to be fired by Lucius. A killer of demon and human. You hated him because Lucius loved him more than you.
Live.
Her eyes searched the room until they locked onto a piece of wood sitting upright near the back room. In demon speed, she rushed over to it, grabbed it, and returned to Murphy. She placed her left hand around his neck and lifted his head and placed the wood over his heart.
No, don't. His body tensed up, and his laughing ceased.
Slowly, she embedded the piece of wood into his skin. His skin turned from a pale hue to a rusted color, and it began to sink over his cheekbones and his neck. He gasped once and fell silent, while his eyes shriveled into nothing. Eventually, the skin around his face began to flake and fall over. The discoloration traveled over his chest, to his arms, and to his legs, and eventually to his head. Celine released him and watched as his arms turned into a mixture of thick dust and blood as it dropped to the ground. His legs followed in the evaporation process until there was nothing left but a puddle of dust and blood. She licked her lips in sudden blessedness. Her black eyes returned to its normal state to stare at the dust floating through the air. Suddenly and abruptly, without a word, she quickly ascended up the steps, followed by Jessica. Veronica also left, hearing Nathan closely behind her. Celine stood in the foyer and motioned for Jessica to open the front door.
"What did you see?" Veronica questioned.
"She fell limbo," Remy answered. "It's enough to make the oldest DMR shake in their boots."
Celine shot Remy a quick glance, then she spoke. "The state of limbo is frightening, even for Gimon my age." She looked at Mathan. "Thank you for your hospitality." Mathan placed his hands on Veronica's shoulders, halting her from moving forward.
"You are most welcome."
Jessica held the door open, and the cold winter air circled through the foyer, carrying snowflakes.
"Is it possible that my mother is there with Lucius?" Veronica asked.
"I don't know."
Celine stepped out into the cold air, and Jessica closed the door behind them.
"She must have seen something to scare her to leave so quickly like that," Veronica replied.
They heard Anastasia's faint footsteps walking up the basement steps. She stirred in the entranceway, and upon hearing Veronica's statement, she quickly answered.
"I saw what Celine saw." They remained quiet as they listened to her describe seeing Tai, dressed in a long silk robe, sitting on a large black throne in front of a huge panned window with several minions, including Murphy, surrounding him.
Dressed in a black leather jacket with matching pants and boots, he sported dark-rimmed sunglasses, and he wore his brown hair slicked to the back. While the minions worshipped his every being, he remained relaxed, and Anastasia sensed his strong, cocky demeanor. The images changed to an old and abandoned farmhouse in the middle of a cornfield. It tilted to the side, the wood bleached from years of prolonged sunlight. A huge cliff near the edge of the field had a small stream that ran through it. Old and twisted corn stalks filled the surrounding fields. Darkness oozed from a cave near the fields. When Celine had tried piercing through the cave, the images suddenly stopped, leaving the feeling and the odor of Lucius on the tip of Anastasia's tongue.
"I don't know why Celine was so hesitant to continue," Anastasia said.
"She probably fears the dark magic."
Before Veronica could ask why, Nathan interrupted.
"There isn't enough information about Limbo to understand what it truly is," he exclaimed. "Demon and researcher alike have heard of it, but there isn't anyone alive who has experienced it." His question left more answers.
"The cave is located south from here," Anastasia replied, "about 50 miles in Steele County."
With this new information, Veronica was ready to travel to the cave Anastasia described. Black magic or no magic, it didn't matter.
"It isn't going to beat Evie," a voice from above caught their attention.
Remy leaned on the railing, looking down at them gathered below. How long he'd been up there, listening to their conversation, no one knew except for Anastasia.
"There's a reason why Celine left as fast as she did."
"And why is that?" Veronica asked.
A wide grin appeared on his face.
"Limbo is Amenutis territory."
She looked to Mathan, whose eyes whitened. She saw Anastasia's body stiffen and her lips slowly scrunched together.
Feeling kept out of the loop, Veronica spoke up. "Who is Amenirdis?"
"Oh, just one of the very first demon created."
He approached the stairs and descended slowly, gliding his hands along the railing. "She's also known as a strong practitioner of dark magic." He held his head high, like a king admired by his subjects. And when he reached the bottom stair, he stopped and lowered himself unexpectedly to sit.
"But she's dead," Anastasia responded,
Don't lie to the poor girl, Anna. Remy smiled. The very first demon are still alive.
Pure ones?
Mason leaned against the walls and folded his arms across his chest. In the Brotherhood, we were taught that the pure ones were myths.
If they're just myths, then how would that explain us?
Remy asked.
They are the first of our kind. Emanirdis is one of them.
And she lives in a cave? Veronica couldn't believe it herself.
No, she's in limbo. But I've heard that she is reachable through three immortal human-looking girls endowed with magic.
They negotiate for her.
I've also heard that she could trap humans and demon in limbo, but not without a price.
He examined his fingernails in a cool and calm manner.
She's more than just one of us.
She's old. Older than all of us. Rucius, Selene, and Kai.
Yet another powerful demon entered her search, and Veronica wiped her face with her hand, taking in a deep breath.
She's the whore. The whore of dark magic.
He looked up at Mathan in a cold and calculated smile.
She's the queen of limbo, the dark mother. If you want anyone to suffer a fate worse than death, she's the one to go to.
You know a lot about Emanirdis. Have you met her before? Nathan asked.
I've met her immortal humans. Remy paused in thought.
My ego is still recovering. They stared at each other for what felt like minutes. Finally, Anastasia spoke up.
If this is true, your research ends here, Veronica.
Yeah, sorry, sweet pea, Remy added.
So that's it?
Veronica wanted a better explanation.
We're no match for one of the first demons to have ever existed. Even her human servants are stronger than all of us.
Macon rubbed his chin in thought.
If she is the one who did this to Lucius, then there may not be anything that we can do.
He walked toward a study.
Veronica watched Anastasia walk down the back hallway and out to the backyard. She found herself alone with Remy still snickering at her. She contemplated her next move.
I admire your persistence, he said to her, but this isn't one area you'd want to venture in.
She sighed. Not only did she have to deal with Kai, but now Emanirdis, a demon she'd never heard before until now, and supposedly a demon old and strong enough to scare Selene, her protector.
Holly raised her hand slightly. If you go, Veronica, I'll go with you.
Remy laughed under his breath. You can't protect her. You've never been past the front gates as a demon.
Holly lowered her chin into her chest and stewed. At least I have the balls to go.
Veronica straightened her hair and she reached out her hand to Holly.
Let's go.
Wait. Remy stood in front of her. You can't seriously think about going there tonight.
Why not?
She walked around him, and she headed for the front door, with Holly following her. Again, Remy moved in front of her, and he slowly licked his lips.
You humans and kids are so alike. So naive and eager for the thrill.
He opened the front door. Before we go, I need to make a quick stop. She looked at him, seeing the devilish spark in his eye.